Hello and welcome to another episode of the Muscle and the Hustle podcast. You are very welcome to be here. It's me and Mickey again because we never invite anyone on because we cannot be fucked organizing anything else but ourselves. We are that unorganized. So look, we dived into the last one. It was unbelievable. Thank you for all the shares and the stories, all the feedback we've been getting. I've been getting so much in my DMs. Yeah. Like the mental health side that's been helping people, and that is the fucking impact I want to have. So them messages really light me up, and to be honest, they mean more to me than anything else. So I just want to say a massive thank you, because I know it's not easy to always write that, because sometimes it feels like, Joe, I'm reaching out and this has helped me. That's kept private, and it means a lot to me and Mickey, and the fact that that's happening in the droves, especially from young men in particular, and even a lot of females now, saying it's making a big difference. Like I had a client say that we were the reason she felt able to quit her job and make the leap. She just felt like it was just the right move. And even small things like that where we're making a small difference, or we're at least helping. I'm not saying we're the ones.
Making a small dent in a problem or problems. This last week with freshers, or 2 weeks ago with freshers, by the time this comes out, the amount of young fellas that came up and go, oh, listen to the podcast, it's good crack. But he goes, like, there's some good stuff in it, but they're just at that age still. They're just turned 18 where they don't want to go.
Oh, you need a bit of crack too.
Aye, but they're like, there's some good stuff in it too, but they won't go into details. And you're just like, I know what you mean. Like, you know, we know, you don't have to say it. The same way as we always say, we know, we see there's people listening that'll never share, because it's sometimes tough to share on your stories. Cause when you share it, people go, oh, is everything okay? Because they'll see the title or, you know, there could be a topic covered that you'd maybe, it's something
like if you share porn on your fucking, like the talk we done about porn on your fucking story, and then people go, what the fuck?
Well, have you got a porn addiction, or are you sex addiction? Are you into kinks? Are you into this? But we know yous are there, because we can see, and we're charting, like we charted in the UK, Ireland, New Zealand again. And it's growing. So we'd like, thank everybody for listening. And we are going to churn out the content a wee bit more, and we believe it or not,
Mickey means him. And
but believe it or not, we are getting guests.
We are. Crack's too good, lads.
The crack's too good. I probably in Australia when this goes out. I've just worked it out in my head. So
when it flows though. Like, it's hard to be two men that just love talking fucking complete utter dung.
Yeah.
So it's one of them things where, and I would challenge you as well, if you wouldn't share this to your story. I'm not saying this about it, but like, think why you wouldn't, and then I'm not saying, tricking you into this, but like, you're letting somebody else hold you back from maybe possibly, if you got real value from it, you're letting somebody else's opinion of you hold you back from maybe helping somebody else.
Yeah, or...
because you don't realize the knock-on effect it has. Like, see whenever somebody goes to me, oh, I didn't even realize you'd done this new shirt, or I share something like about mental health or therapy, and they never message me, and then I hear through the grapevine that somebody's went because of it, or, they talk to you 2 years later, and they go, oh, I went because you... you're like, fuck, and you don't realize it. And I think giving to people and fulfillment and helping others is really what a lot of this is about. And even for yourselves, you don't realize the difference you can have in somebody else's life just by listening, just by simply contributing as a whole. Do you know what I mean?
I think it is like, if you don't want to, even if you don't want to share it in your, I just got a wee thought there. If you don't want to share it in your stories, share it with one friend that you think it might help them. Just one mate. Just pick someone. Could be totally random. Could be a family member. Could be anybody. Just share, if the podcast helped you, share it to one person. Like we did, just shout out one of our listeners. I did his wedding last Saturday, 2 Saturdays ago. Dermot, he's a good friend from Oma, but he's moved to Dublin, done his wedding. Big listener of the podcast, so good luck in the...
Imagine.
Good luck and congratulations on the big wedding. But there was a few people at the wedding, a couple of boys from Dublin, boy from Mayo, a couple of local boys in Oma that I didn't know listened to the podcast, never cared, got on the podcast. And I was like, and he goes, it literally got me into podcasts. And now he started rhyming off podcasts. Listen, and I was like, I don't know a word. I love podcasts. Like, if I'm driving, like, so I'm leaving here now, I have a long drive, I'll not listen to music. I listen to something that either will help me or will make me laugh.
Yeah, so it's enjoyment. And I think it's a much better use of your time. Like, don't get me wrong, see if I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
I'll usually throw on something music.
Maybe hype music. Yeah, maybe a bit of hype music. But like...
Chris Stapleton.
Chris Stapleton. Well, Tennessee Whiskey is a good one. Or like... But I listen to someone like Shane Todd, Colin Geddes, the Bomb Squad, or I listen to someone that makes me laugh if I need the laugh. Or the two Johnnies we're listening on the way down here. or if I find like I've got the mental capacity, I'll listen to a good podcast if I'm interested in the topic.
Yeah, it needs to be, if you're trying to learn, I usually do stuff like that, which sounds sad, is I'll download the videos of courses like biomechanics or and listen to that as a drive. Now, you might not get the full gist, but you get an idea of it. But I agree, I think using your dead time is very important. And then it's actually just turning dead time into productive time. And it does make a difference.
Because anybody that drives a lot, like anybody that's listening to us now, like we have the guys who drive down to Dublin for work every morning and every Monday morning listen to the podcast. That old time can be, you'd rather be in your bed. You'd rather be with your girlfriend or boyfriend. You'd rather be with your loved ones. But if you can't be there, you may as well make use of it somehow.
I think one thing too that highlights real importance of it as well is, see, when it comes to the podcasts and all the information people are giving you, I do feel like there is also the other side of the coin where you get people who constantly read books and listen to podcasts and don't implement anything.
Don't do anything, yeah.
And I think as well, one thing that they also think is that these people are on hierarchies. Me and Mickey wing every single part of this from the start to the end to the intros to everything.
Like Dan asked us for the name of this podcast, what he's talking about.
I said general shit.
And there was silence for 10 seconds.
I said general shit, just label it as that because it's going to be general. And it's one of these things where like, me and Mickey, not that we treat this like a therapy, but it's just a good in-depth conversation. And that's why I think a lot of it resonates home with the listenership and yourself. Because if you're listening to this right now and we say something, it's not that it's new to you a lot of the time. You know it. You just haven't sat and pondered until we brought the topic up. It's like when we were talking about porn the last one, or we talked about, like, for example, we were talking there now about how quickly my Instagram following was growing. And for example, like the strategies I'm using, like, you're not really considered, but if I told you what I'm doing, like you'd be like, oh, like that's not genius. That's just him sitting there thinking of it. Like, if, for example, like we were talking about how, for example, I sat and was looking through it and everybody's saying the fitness industry's oversaturated. And I was like, right, well, what's it missing? And I was like, and I went through people's accounts and I was like, yeah, this is all great. And I was like, is anybody actually any crack? Or is anybody a laugh? Yeah. Or does anybody not give two fucks? And I was like, what's my main thing? And I was like, I'm a big messer in person.
Yeah.
Like joke around, I scare my auntie. That's how my Instagram started doing well in the first place. It was fitness with results, but it was because I'm a messer. And I sort of lost my way of that because I was following what everybody else is doing. And the funniest thing is, as soon as I revert back to my original self, every time, everything goes far better for me. And it's one of the things where if I tell you that from a business perspective, you're like, that's actually quite, no, that's not genius at all. That's just actually common sense.
Well, most times business and growth and success isn't genius. No, it's someone, you know, doing what they do and believing what they do and doubling down on what they do and doing it consistently. Like, it is the genius idea to create a certain type of business, but if you looked at it, you're a content creator in the fitness realm. And everybody, and there's millions of them. There's thousands of them even in within a fucking 100-mile radius of you. And you just looked at it and went, well, why? What's different about me and them? And how can I differentiate? And that's just what you did.
It's being you, though.
And
well,
you were lucky that it turned out that you're the way of differentiating yourself from them is just being you.
And that's the only
whereas
you
you're
have.
Not acting. You can tell when there's boys online acting. And you can tell when there's people online being really them. Like, you're really you. James Smith's really him.
Yeah, 100%.
That is him, because I have emails from James. And the way he gets on in emails is the way he talks.
Yeah.
And but you can also tell the people who is faking it and trying to be this mindful, deep individual. And then you're like, I'm not buying it from you.
You know that, like, for example, like I have a client, a really good example is Owen Burke. He's a really good friend, right? And I don't know if you've seen his content, right?
I know the name,
But I watched his content and I was like, he can't be like that in person. He's so nice. He's so genuine. And see, when I met him, I was like, oh my God, you're actually deeper than that. You actually are fucking this part. You're actually that good. And the thing is, it's one of the things where as soon as I watched it, I was like, he's such a good person
deep down. Yeah.
But the thing is, it's one of the things where, like, if somebody else tried to do his content, I'd be like, I know that's fake. And that's why I was like to him, for example, I was like, you need to lean in with that style of content because people are not going to come across genuine if they even try and copy you. It's like if somebody tries to do my mom joke skits and it's not going to be genuine at all.
Yeah.
Versus like with him, that's a really good example because it's hard to come across like you. Like he would care if you crushed a bug. Like he, do you know that sort of individual? Like he cares.
Yeah.
And he, like, I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying that in a good way because he listens. He told me the last couple podcasts are great. So I my ego. So that's the exact reason I used him as an example because I know that he'll be able to relate to that. Others will be able to relate to that. They'll be able to see his content. it's one of these things where I feel like you, the only thing that differentiates you, and I was saying this to somebody who was talking the other day, from everyone else in fitness or any business, yeah, is you.
Is you, yeah.
That's it. But the problem is, you see somebody do successful and then you mimic them. I've done that. Like, I have done that. And you copy over people's content and you copy, yeah, their styles. I don't want this to be a content podcast and not be, but I feel like we even do that with, like, our clothing and what we wear and, yeah, all these in it, like all these small things that add up over time, and you don't realize it, but you can lose your identity in that. And I feel like you can, yeah, shift in and out of that, but it's very tough to know yourself, I think.
It, yeah, well, I think like people learn when the people that are the most dangerous in business and life and everything is the people that really get to know themselves and what they're about. And they get to know their strengths and their weaknesses. And they're the people that I would look at that are the movers. And they're the people that you'd be like, you know, he can go places because he understands who he is and what he is. It's okay, like, for people to go and mimic other people. Like, I know there's DJs there at the moment in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, that are trying to mimic what I do. And my kind of style of my sets, the style of my music. And some of them actually reach out and go, here, can I get this song off you? But it's something I've made, you know, a mashup I've created. And I have no problem. I love it. I love the fact that people would look at me in that realm. But at the same time, I know that's not them. And I know they'll go through a phase of doing that until they find their own way. And then when they find their own way, the same boys will boom because they have the ingenuity. And I think if you do, when you're starting out, you do want to mimic people you look up to. Like when I started out, I used to study Tiësto. Like, I mean, I found a website called Tiësto tracklists.com, and every single Tiësto gig, they wrote down every song he played. And I used to study all the songs he played. And I used to go, right, I'm not Tiësto, but what are these songs can I use?
Yeah.
And I studied that when I was young from 2008 to 2012, I studied that for 4 years, every single day.
Joe, as well, and it was something you said a wee bit back, and it sort of not triggered me, but it caught my thought process, and I want to bring it. I think a lot of the time too, whenever people are copying over people, or they're almost hiding themselves, right? And you see it now, particularly with content and cameras, yeah, going out, like, it's actually sometimes people don't come across as themselves because
they think people would like them
initially, yeah, and I think whenever people turn around and go, what the fuck's that about? Right. So sometimes I'd be talking to stories and people are like, you didn't go on like that around me before. And I'm like, that's actually my real inner monologue. That's, yeah, how I'm really thinking. Yeah, you're, yeah, getting, yeah, a, and it's one of these things where people then go, oh, that's not real. He's not like that. The thing is, he can be like that, like round one person. So a really good example is like, if you watch my content, I am very energetic. I'm very on the ball. I'm fucking psyched for the gym, disciplined motherfucker, all that. I don't go on like that 24/7. I'm like that. I'm like that quite a lot. The messer side of me has come from, like, the best way to explain is like whenever I play with my dog or I'm having the crack with my sister, I'm a bit of a messer, like an annoying, yeah, little brother. I make mom jokes, I stupid shit. And all I done was just crank that up. And the thing is, I think people forget that you don't have to be the one personality around everybody. Like how you are around your parents and how you are around your friends doesn't mean you're fake and you're hiding one side of you.
Yeah.
You've just got different faces. It's like, do you ever see that day? It's an old Chinese proverb. Dan probably knows because he's a genius. But it's like, the only person ever, you wear masks around everyone else. And yeah, the only, yeah, real person to see your mask is you, or you see your real face is you.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's sort of the way I feel like now with my content and the way who I am. And
yeah,
that's even why I brought up Burke, because I'm like, that's the real him. Whereas with other individuals as well, you know it's a mask. Like you can see it. And I think a lot of people, even in terms of like, it's even when you bump into people now, I notice that I'm like, that's not you.
Yeah.
This is like a false sense. It's like, for example, like I go, oh, I'm the big bad wolf. You can hear me laugh during the howl because I know I'm not taking it serious. Whereas if I was to take that deadly serious, you'd be like, you're nuts. Like you're,
if you thought you were the big bad wolf, you'd
like,
be,
yeah, like, I'm insane, like, I know I'm 5'6". Like, I know the fucking, I know I'm, yeah, the little dog,
the wee puppy dog.
Puppy.
Do you want the proverb? Do you want the Japanese proverb?
Yeah, what is the proverb, Dan?
The Japanese say you have three faces. The first face you show to the world. The second face you show to your close friends and your family. The third face you never show anyone. It's the truest reflection of who you are.
I love that.
That's,
like,
good.
Yeah, because I was looking at quotes about life today earlier, and I read that one and I was like, I'll share that because I was like, that'll come across. But like, that's the way I am. Like, I've heard, have you heard that before, haven't you?
Yeah.
I've heard that before. You've heard that before, Dan?
Sorry, turn my mic off. Yeah, I've heard it before.
Yeah. Good. Oh, no, no. Yeah, and I feel like that's a very good perception of not just content, but also yourself. Like, I don't know if anybody's ever done this lately. I done it in the gym earlier and it freaked me out. And you're going to laugh at this. You're going to think, was he standing?
I'm already laughing.
Yeah, I just, like, I was staring in the mirror, obviously admiring my own pump like a bell end. And I'm not saying I would do that, but I actually just stared into my own eyes. And the thing is, you very rarely do that. Like, I didn't realize that. Like, I think I had not a mark, but like, I have a mark on like one of my cheeks. And I was like,
no,
like
you do there,
right? There. And I was like, I didn't even notice that. But I was staring at my own eyes and I was sort of like thinking about who I am, character traits, doing all this stuff. And I was like, you don't actually spend time like reflecting on you. I know we weren't in reflection, we're not going to do it, but even just like who you really are, what you really want. And one thing that has made my life a lot better of late is I got very clear like at the last while on like, oh, I don't like the idea of like mission because it makes it sound like I am on a mission to fucking bomb somebody or fucking plant C4 in Call of Duty. Or I like the idea of like, I don't really know how else to rephrase that, like vision, but like the idea of like what I'm about, I'm trying to help a younger version of me. That's really what I'm about. And I want to be a catalyst for change in people's lives and move forward. And see, just even knowing like that's what I'm about now, I'm basing decisions based off that, my values. So like my values are, you know, family, impact, freedom, versus a long time, like I was basing things off like, and you would see it in like content from years ago, like chasing money, chasing followers. And the funniest thing is when you trace your, like chase your deepest values, like I was looking at posts the other day. And like I uploaded that free workout split, you'll see it on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And I know that is not going to do well. That is not like a viral video series. But I was like, that aligns with my values and that is good value content. If my Instagram flops off the back of that, I can stand firmly with it and go, I'm not a sellout. If I was young and I was watching that would be great. And the thing is, when you stand on your own values, it doesn't really matter what happens with your money or that because you're following what you feel is right. And I feel like that's a main issue of a lot of things. Like we're chasing things that don't really matter. And the more more I do that, the more I feel fulfilled and the more you feel like you're standing on your own two feet.
Yeah. There's a lot, like a guy I know from years ago, I could have propelled my career a lot quicker. Don't know if it would have been, I don't know if they could have got me further than I got far enough myself. But I know if I would have worked with certain individuals and certain groups, I would have got further, but I just didn't like how they did business, how they aligned themselves. And they didn't like the fact that I knocked them back and they did everything they could to stop me from doing well. But it just wouldn't have sat nice of me if I would have. Now, they would have opened a lot of doors. They would have done a lot of good work. I'd have had a lot of good gigs, but I wouldn't have earned them gigs. They would have used me and put me on these shows and put me on these festivals. And I'd have been there. And in my head, I would have went, I didn't earn to be here. Now, was it good enough to be there? Yes. But there's a lot of people could have fought that.
I love that. I'm just like, yes, I fucking am.
No, definitely.
This brings me to...
You know when you're good enough, but the thing was, they would have opened all the doors that they were kind of... I'm not saying they'd shut the doors, but they'd definitely put their foot against it slightly to make it a wee bit harder.
Me and my sister were talking about this earlier, and I wanted to ask you this because this leads into this question quite well. So I want to bring it up before it goes out. Were you always passionate about DJing?
No,
but this is what we were talking about because we were talking about, like, for example, nobody's ever read Cal Newport's book on the passion sort of hypothesis and like how he sort of says like passion is like, best way I can explain it is like, I do actually really agree with it. Like, so you can give me your thoughts on this because you're coming from a very different space to me, in my opinion. So, and people listening will resonate with this and I think it's really nice because you're told forever, find your passion, chase it. And the book actually argues the counterpoint.
He argues
the fact that, and I've brought this up before, he argues the fact that passion comes from confidence. I'm butchering this, fuck's sake. Passion comes from being really fucking good at something, actually.
Yeah.
And confidence comes from competence. So they all interlink. So for example, like whenever you're competent at something, you become confident in it.
Yeah.
And then naturally, whenever you're really good at something, you want to do more of it and then it becomes a passion. So for me, I hated the gym initially. Didn't like it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was not the kid that's on PE, didn't do any sports. And it took me probably 2 years of just persistent and consistency. Mix that is a new word, son. It took me like 2 years, but then do you know what? Like, see, now I'm so passionate with fitness, but it's also because I'm one of the bigger ones in the gym. I'm good at reinforcing my ego, but I'm interested because I feel like if you don't have a passion, that would be the only way you would get one. Whereas, before you even touched Dex, were you like, this is my calling?
Before I touched Dex, I was making like cassettes.
See, I think that's so rare. I don't think most people.
I was making from about the age of 8 or 9. I'd worked out how to record the radio on my tape deck.
And do you believe?
And I used to record Atlantic 252.
And do you believe most people are like that?
No,
do you think
no.
You got lucky. No, not lucky, but you,
I think
I
had
word,
two
but.
Passions growing up, and one was cooking, and the other one was music. I never learned how to play an instrument because I didn't have the probably patience. I was too fidgety. And then I was always playing Gaelic and stuff, and it was always like Tuesday nights, and you know, it was all everything just could never learn. Always wanted to learn the drums, but I actually bought drums there. So stand by for the drummer era.
Fuck me, it's Travis Barker in the flesh.
I was about to say that. I'm just going to shave my head.
Oh, no.
No, but like the passion. Like, I always loved recording mixtapes, doing that there, and I always wanted to DJ. When I was young, I didn't know what DJing was. And then when I seen these tapes and like Scooter, Binman, Tizer, I just wanted to do that. And then the first like dance CD my sister got, or I got, was a Ministry of Sound one. And then I was just obsessed.
See, because I think the reason that you're getting every Tom, Dick and Harry, my mum, every fucking cat becoming a personal trainer is because for the first time in somebody's life, and this is obviously what happened to me as well, they become good at something because they stay consistent because they pay for it. So you pay for a coach, they hammer you, you eventually get a result. And then that's the first thing that you become competent in, and you get confidence from it. And then your passion builds off that. And I think that's what's happening. That's why everybody's going, but fitness is my passion. Fitness has been built into your passion. If you were really, really good at something else, you naturally build a passion for it. Like, for example, I was never passionate about property. Like, I wasn't born and going, I fucking love buildings. But once I started making a fuckload of money off them and got really good at them, I started to like them a lot more. And now I'm like, oh, I'm actually quite passionate about property and building wealth. But the thing is, I didn't come in that. So I do feel like if you can get it the way you've got it, that's the ideal. Like, that's like the real way you'd want it. But if you don't have passion and you're trying to get it, I think remembering that not everybody, even me, didn't have it, it comes from that confidence perspective. And Cal Newport's book's very good for anybody that struggles, Joe, because I'm sure you would struggle to relate with the way I said it.
Yeah, at times I can. I had done a bit of reflection this week. Because, like, well, 3 weeks ago, I had a really good week in DJing terms and event terms. And I was chatting to a guy who gave me one of my first gigs. And he was saying about, he actually goes, I remember paying you this amount. And I kind of worked out in my head how much I made in my first 3 years of DJing. Like,
I made in the first two and a half, not a lot of gigs.
I was doing like one a month in the first 3 years, what I got paid. And I was chatting, we were having a coffee, and I was like, you know what? I have another 2 gigs to go this week, and I've made that already. And he was like, what the fuck? And I was like, it's just dawned on me, but I never thought you could DJ full time until my headmaster told me you could. I was just told you couldn't do it. My headmaster's son was a DJ. He told me that you definitely can't. So there's no point the music teacher keeps putting, or the careers teacher keeps putting you out of class, telling them to keep you in class. I didn't think it was that you could do it. So it was never about being full-time or earning loads of money or doing this or doing that. For me, it was, I just loved music. I love finding music that nobody could hear. And I didn't even know how to make music at that stage. But I just liked how people, when you give people like a mixtape and they were like, oh fuck, that's actually really good.
See, because I can't relate to that. Like, I don't ever remember being like this. I felt very much until I was like, even the year or two into coaching, like even in the fire service, like a year, I was like, I'm not really passionate about it. But the better I get at something, the more I do. So I think it's nice to see both sides of that coin. Because people will be like, he is so passionate about fitness. I'm actually more passionate about making a younger version of me, making a change in a young man's life. And I know that's done best through fitness. That's why I'm passionate about fitness, not fitness itself. And don't get me wrong, I understand the underlying. But I think somebody listening to this right now will go, oh, that actually is great to hear, because it's one of them things where you're always told, follow your passion, this and that. And usually people come from, when speak about it, they come from your side. They found it early. And they're like, I've always been in the test. Whereas, like, do you ever see like the child prodigies that are like brought up doing tennis, and they're like, oh, I'm just always been. It's because you were always probably better.
Sometimes they're like a wee robot. I've noticed that when I was listening to, it was the Netflix show, Marty Fish one. He just didn't know anything else. And sometimes if it goes pear-shaped or goes wrong, they don't know anything else. They don't know what to do, and that's where struggles happen. But like I've always said, as soon as DJing feels like a job, I will not enjoy it then, because it's something that I love doing. It's a release. It's something I've always wanted to do. But when the day comes that I feel like this is a chore, this is a job, I'm not enjoying it, and people aren't enjoying it.
I think there's always days you don't love it though, is there?
Like no, there's never a day I don't love DJing, no.
See, I find there's days where like I love...
Never.
Oh, fuck, you're a different breed.
Like DJing part of it now. See the promoting events and shit and dealing with fucking
morons. That's what I mean. There's parts of my job I love and there's parts I don't really like.
Well, see,
I think that's normal, isn't it?
As a DJ, it's my own stupid fault for taking on the extra crap.
Whereas everything revolving around DJing you enjoy, there's not one bit... Like, whereas like with coaching, for example, like I might really enjoy check-ins for all my clients, but then say, for example, like programming's fine, but then say, I know, like admin or something like that there, or bits and pieces.
Well, technically,
like,
if my manager's not listening to this because he doesn't give a fuck, technically, if my manager did more of his job, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to deal with like we talked about the phone calls and shit. That should be him dealing with it.
Yeah.
If all my job as a DJ is to play music.
So I feel like
that is, I could do that all day long and it would be like, so much less pressure on me.
I feel like most people will also feel though like there's parts of their job that you love and then the parts of them that don't like, and that's why people end up going, this isn't for me in the long run. Like there's parts of my job I love and parts of it. Really good example actually is I love the fact that it gives me freedom and I can travel anywhere. What's really shit though is the fact that I can't take any full week off because I usually have check-ins 2 days a week. So the thing is, Christmas week, I have check-in. I'm on holidays with the family on a cruise, I have check-in. So like, that's not me complaining. It's just, that's just one side of my coin. I feel like everybody doesn't see your, or thinks, oh, passion, it needs to be, everything's perfect. And I feel like we need to, this is something I was listening, like I've been listening loads and loads of podcasts lately. And it's one of these things where you have to rewire that sense of like, everything needs to be pleasure and fulfillment and everything needs to be like that. Some things are just about contentment and moving forward. And like, I was listening to like a, sometimes what you need to do is you need to reframe. Like, for example, we were talking about this event on Wednesday and they were saying like the reward versus, this is going to go on a bit of a tangent, but they got a wrap and they starved it for a week and they put it in, this is going to sound so strange from this topic, they put it in a box and they put cheese on one side and they measured its pulling power and it was at 30 knots or 30%. Yeah. So percent makes things easy. And what they done was then they put a rat behind the mouse and measured the pull again and took away the cheese. And the rat pulled at 80%. It was highlighting that fear is a bigger motivator than the reward. So that's why a lot of people will struggle with chasing passion, because there's not only no reward, but you're also not framing it. So one thing we done in the mindset course that you find really valuable, and I find this beautiful, is, and I never done this before, you always write out like what you want and your vision and your mission and what you're going to reward. You'll always hear people say, reward yourself. Do you know, if you hit a goal, like 100,000 followers, you hit a marriage, reward yourself. They actually said, this is interesting because this is something I've done before, but I haven't done with people, and I would have been really guilty of this. And I think this is one of the reasons why I've been able to get a stupid high work ethic, is you write out your absolute worst fear and where the worst position is. And it's actually quite a scary thing.
Yeah.
Because you go like, right, if coaching goes tits up, all my houses go under, my mentorship, everything, every income stream that I, and everything goes tits up, where do I end up? And that fear will usually motivate you more than anything else. Do you know, like losing your follow, losing your, and I'm not saying use all that and be scared of losing it, because you need to be okay with it. But it's one of the things of like, that will motivate you into action if you need pain to change. And most people don't have that. So even in case of the passion stuff, if you don't have enough, you're like, oh no, things are comfy right now. Like you need to remember as well, the more you lean into like building like competence and confidence and different skill sets, it's going to help you stabilize your life in every area. So like a relationship doesn't go sour.
Yeah.
Because if you're not working on yourself, and I'm not saying you need to work on we've sort of went on a tangent off the passion, but a case of if you're not working on yourself in every individual layer, you're going to notice issues arise in your work, or you're unfulfilled in work, or unfulfilled in a relationship, or unfulfilled just in general.
Yeah.
And I do feel like that's from the groundwork on the individual. I know that's so off tangent, but I listened to that thing earlier and I thought that was very good.
It's true. Like the fear I suppose by every DJ or every artist or every musical person is someday that nobody's going to want to listen to you. But that also,
that's probably going to happen though, no?
Oh, it has to happen.
Yeah, it's like bodybuilding. Like, but it's eventually like, your time runs out.
It's the people that are unwilling to evolve. If you listen to any artist, be it Kanye, be it fucking Eminem, be it someone who's been around the business for a long time, even Drake, their music isn't the same from day one. It evolves. And some people just aren't willing to evolve with the music. But the other thing that, like, I will always evolve and I've always have.
Do you think that needs to happen in a relationship? Sorry, I don't mean in every area, like your relationships.
Everything. If you're going out with someone for 10 years, you're not the same person at 18 as you are at 28. And if you are that same person at 18, you need to have a fucking good conversation with yourself.
Yeah, and the thing is too, I feel like people don't realize that they're evolving and think that it's a natural process, whereas you're actually evolving by your choices, your decisions.
Everything.
But the thing is, I think a lot of people, like me in particular...
You can evolve apart as well. You could realize that the people that you are at 28 aren't the same as the people you are at 24. The people
or
you
somebody's
are at 20.
Aged faster and faster. Somebody's aged slower mentally, yeah. And you might not have worked on yourself in certain areas. Like, for example, like for a long time, I would have worked on like the business, that, whereas I didn't work on the personal side. So then you're not speeding up on that side. And I'm sure you know the same yourself.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah. Fucking.
I find that quite interesting because I feel like a lot of the time people say you get wise as you get older, but I feel like you only get wise as you're older if you
want to be wise.
Yeah, exactly.
You can get lazy and just let the years pass by and go, you know what, I'm in a relationship here and someone else is getting wise and you're just like, I've did my bit.
Wisdom comes through mistakes. I think as well, there was a good quote I had there. Wise mistakes. No, she's in one.
But then one of my big drivers to make sure I succeeded in music was my mum forced me having a plan B and I fucking hated the plan B.
See, I wouldn't.
And every day I was in the plan B, I was like, get me the fuck out of here.
I sort of live by that. Like,
I need to make this work. And the better I make it work, I am fucking jacking this plan B and I'm never having another safety net.
Well, pain's the main motivator for change. Like, for example, like you look at my very best results, they usually come after the dudes got broke up with. Heartbreak. Like, you
that's pre-workout.
Yeah, heartbreak makes bodybuilders. And like, that was the reason I started the gym like 12 years ago. And the funniest thing is people always like write to me and be like, oh, was it this person you used to see when you were young? And I'm like, no, this happened like when I was like, so young that it was like a 1 week thing. So like it didn't really matter. Yeah.
It's a comic book arc. Isn't that what they call it? Like, and then the same as the villain arc. When you break someone's heart, they can either become a hero or a villain.
Yeah, well, I became the villain, obviously. But I find it very interesting because like, it's also very interesting how like one decision, like the butterfly effect, like one decision that you make can impact your life. Like imagine I didn't go to the gym and I went and done drugs.
Yeah.
You go down that rabbit hole. Yeah. But then it's up to you as you evolve as a person to reflect and then go, right, well, what was good, what was bad, and what moved forward. But the problem is we obviously don't do that. No, I'm guilty of it, you're guilty of it. I feel like it's just such an interesting
one decision thing. Like my big decision was I was offered a gig in a nightclub that was a 99.99% Protestant venue. And I got offered the residency in this club. And I texted maybe three or four DJs that I respected. Every single one of them says, do not take it. You play too much GA, you're too well known as a GA boy, and they won't like you up there. And I was like, fuck. I was like, do you think? And this was mid-2000s. And spoke to the guy who owned the club, and the guy who owned the club says, you know what? He goes, it did cross my mind, but we'll be okay. And I chatted the boys against DJ. They were like, do not fucking do it. Don't do it. I decided I'd do it, and it changed the trajectory of everything I'd done since that.
Yeah.
And I met some of the best friends I've ever met, never once got abused. Got the piss taken out of me once because I did a 12th of July party. But
that's pretty funny.
Fucking hilarious. Some of the best people I've ever met in my life changed the trajectory of my career. And other clubs took me from them, done a deal with the club without me kind of knowing. Went to them, go, we want your DJ. Can we bring him here? And they were like, fair enough. And then that's what helped me. But if I was to make the decision the other way, I don't know if I would be where I am right now. And that is the God's honest truth. I might have found another.
Do you believe everything happens for a reason?
Oh, 100%. Well, to a certain point. But I think your actions before that makes, you know, your actions lead to that. So I think because I ticked so many boxes coming to that, they came to me. And I tell you what, the reason they came to me is they came to see another DJ one night in a club and the DJ wasn't there. And they came up to me and goes, well, and said the other boy's name. And I says, no, it's Mickey. And they were like, are you not? And I was like, no. And then they sat down. And then at the end of the night, they come up to me and goes, oh, we came here to see him tonight because we're opening a new nightclub, but I want to get a chat to you. And then the guy that didn't show up that night to the club missed out. So maybe there's something in that there.
Yeah, like I do believe everything. I personally believe everything happens for a reason. I feel like as well with that sort of scenario of like the taking the leap and that, it's all down to like how you hardwire yourself. And I think like a lot of time people feel like other people's opinions and that do matter too much into their conscious like choices. Yeah. You know, like you taking too much advice, too many chefs ruin the broth, ruin the soup. But it's one of the things where I used to be like that very much so. And I was listening to Andrew, probably the very one of the very best podcasts you'll ever listen to, apart from ours, is the Rich Rolls one with Rich Rolls, whatever it's called.
Rich Rolls.
With Andrew Huberman. It's very good. And it's about rewire your brain. And it comes down to that and explains that until you're 25, you've got so much flexibility with like learning and habits and choices. After 25, your brain is like more like a, it's more firm. Now, it doesn't mean you can't change. It just means your habits, your routines. We're wrapping up about 2-3 minutes here. Your habits, routines, they're more ingrained. That's why you notice like it's harder to learn languages. You get older, you're harder to do that. But even with your decision making, I think it's one really, really key take home that I got from it was, and you'll love this as like a, as an end point, but it's really valuable. He done a study and he found that whenever you're in a highly stressed state, so say for example, you want to learn anything and you're really struggling with it, or you're pushing through work or you're pushing through trying to get competent something or DJing or, and he learned that if you quit, your body then at night, whenever you're sleeping, remolds the brain process into thinking, right, I was highly stressed. I quit. I'm still alive. And then it actually makes quitting the logical choice every time you start to struggle. Because your body goes, we're still alive. It doesn't know if you kept pushing if you were going to die because cortisol's so high, so stress so high. So your brain at night, the neuroplasticity actually starts to remold the thinking process that quitting is actually your smartest move. And that's why people turn around and go, you're just a quitter.
Well, but it's a boxing term too. They say there's quitting him because he's quit before. You can make him quit again.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And that's why people say quitting's a habit. And even with our last podcast, because they've taken other individuals that like do really well and they just found like, their brain doesn't even think about the quit. It just thinks like, oh, I'm going to get injured. And it's not that they're just a hardcore motherfucker. It's because they've done it in unintentionally. And it's one of these things, like see if you quit a diet or you break a diet, you build that process and that's where then binging builds and all these habits build. And the same with like building your work ethic, building all your discipline. And I just find that such an interesting thing because you always hear that, but you don't hear the science of how the brain remolds, and your brain only remolds when you sleep, and that's why sleep's so important because that's actually when your decision-making gets done. I just find that so interesting because we were trying to, people have been like, I've been building like a peak flow thing for like a mentorship show, in other words, like how you work really well. And I've been just listening to everything on peak flow, and I was like, it's literally the simplest decisions of like this that molds your brain over time, and you don't realize that you're constantly either slowly building up.
Yeah.
Or you're slowly making yourself worse. And I feel like we're constantly doing a bit of both.
Yeah.
But it's like if you can analyze everything and go, right, well, why do I find sticking a diet tough? Or why do I find leaving my job really tough? Or why do I find confronting my mom about something really tough? You've let that build up and that habit, it's not even a habit, that thought process is now with your brain. And to unwire that, it usually takes 9 times the amount of the other side.
That's what they say.
And it slowly takes that. I just think that's a really interesting point that we can, there's some value after all that general shit, as this podcast is going to be labeled, probably.
General shit. General banter podcast. No.
Yeah, I don't know. Mickey comes up with the names. That's why they're very mediocre and they're not.
Very mediocre. Tony can pick up the name of this one. Yeah, he's under pressure now.
General shit it is. Look, we just want to thank everybody for listening. Tune in. We really appreciate all the...
Shout out to Dan, Primal Studios.
Boom, boom, boom. The big man in the background. My conscience, if he spit, you there?
Oh, I'm always here, boys.
There you go. So you heard him tune at the end. He's the one just feeding us this fucking beautiful knowledge. Look, just big shout out to him. The studio's absolutely insane. It's fucking sick. And me and Mickey can get very intimate in here.
We can.
Appreciate it, boys.
So anytime. Look, thank you for listening. Likes, shares, subscribe. It'll be on YouTube too. I'll upload it. Yeah. And please give us feedback. Give us topics. One, because we are running out of ideas. And two, if the feedback's negative, fuck off. And apart from that, look, tune into the next one. Muscle and Hustle out.
Good luck.
Boom.